Welcome to Health, Wealth, and Happiness, a fast-paced, informative, hour-long program dealing with physical, emotional, and mental health issues, consumer information, and money management, as well as the arts, theater, travel, entertainment, social, and civic events. Brought to you by the University of South Carolina School of Medicine Specialty Clinics, the Institute for Partnerships to Eliminate Health Disparities, the Newberry Opera House, the South Carolina Philharmonic, supplements manufacturer A.J. Lanigan, Leon Jones Insurance, and the Mitchell House and Gardens. And now, here's the host of Health, Wealth, and Happiness, Gary Posick.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Health, Wealth, and Happiness. Here's a rundown of today's program. My first guest is in studio, as he is the first Friday of the month. He's Dr. Donnan Davis, and we're going to be talking, he's a plastic surgeon, and today we're going to be talking about neck lifts. From 1:30 to a quarter of 2, Brian Kelly will join us. He's a financial planner, and we're going to talk about covered calls, an income strategy that few people know very much about. My final guest of the day will be Dr. David Lowry, who is the director of the Columbia Choral Society, that will be in concert at Good Shepherd Episcopal Church on Blanding Street on Sunday. So I hope you'll stay tuned for the entire program, and welcome back, Dr. Donnan Davis. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
I guess when you talk about neck lifts, you're talking about getting rid of that turkey gobbler underneath the chin. Is that what you're talking about?
That's right. You know, as we age, several things happen to the skin and the soft tissues of the face and neck. You know, we kind of consider the face and neck entities that are a part of three zones. And so it's quite common for people with both changes in weight and aging to have laxity to the neck, wrinkles, and maybe some excess fat.
What causes such a wide variance in people to get wrinkles to begin with? I mean, you see some people who are in their 50s, and God, to me, they look like they're in their 80s. You see some people in their 80s, and quite frankly, they have very few wrinkles at all.
You're a good observer, and that's an excellent question. There are things that are beyond our power, which are genetic to our aging process, and then there are things that are within our own power, and those are the ones we ask patients to concentrate on because sometimes they can actually even be a harbinger of a medical condition. Cigarette smoking, overexposure to sunlight, yo-yo dieting, all of that can lead to loss of the recoil and elasticity of skin and an extra wrinkling of the skin. And so, you know, those are some of the things that are within our own control. Some people, for medical reasons, may have very poor skin. There are certain medical conditions that require people to be chronically on steroids, and that really is a disaster to the skin. Though those patients need it if they have severe asthma or other needs that necessitate being on the steroids.
And Lord knows there are a blue million products. How many of those I have no earthly idea work, if any.
Well,
I assume that if it ain't $1 billion spent a year, it's close to $1 billion spent every year on notions and potions and foo-foo dust, probably most of which don't work, about eliminating wrinkles, eliminating age spots, all kinds of stuff. And you see it advertised in magazines, on television, just all the time.
Absolutely. There probably is several billion a year spent on wrinkle reduction, age reduction, rejuvenation. We're only required, our federal government, the FDA, only requires prescription-based products to have that level of investigation that would prove or disprove whether or not something works. And so things that are over the counter have no, there is no authority to prevent them from overstating their abilities. And so just like any doctor's appointment, you know, it's the doctor's job to assess the person, because not all people require the same procedure and not all procedures would work on each person individually. What I warn people about the over-the-counter products really is that, you know, you want to be able to get your money's worth out of what you're buying. And so the things that we know that are successful that are over the counter are moisturizers, very successful for helping keep skin healthy. Sunscreen, very helpful for keeping skin toned the same color so people don't get a thing called dyschromia, get a lot of sun damage, sunspots. But unfortunately, all those other things are very exaggerated. Some of them do work temporarily, like for 10 minutes. You can go by a kiosk at the mall and somebody can stop you and say, do you mind? Can I put this on your eyes and rejuvenate your eyelids? And it will look better, but for such a short period of time, it might not be worth the expense of it. Those things really are just made of some form of an astringent that reacts with the skin, makes the skin angry. And so for 10 minutes or 15 minutes, the skin is tight. And then it goes right away.
Well, certainly there's no doubt about the fact that most of the moisturizers and creams and lotions and salves, ointments that are applied to skin are applied by women. Not men, but by women. And if you look at men and women who are basically the same age, quite frankly, with makeup off, hard to tell the difference, at least for me. Now, I don't have a professional eye like you do, but I'll be dog if I can tell much of a difference. In terms of, boy, you can sure tell she's been doing something to her skin. I can't tell that difference.
Well, sometimes that's true, but I think what's coming into play for men, I agree with you. If you had 10 men aged and 10 women aged, you may consider that a man's face looks more youthful in certain aspects. So most men, especially in our culture, shave. Shaving is a awesome form of exfoliating the skin. Mm-hmm. And so men by accident are doing something very healthy to their skin. They don't, you know, it would probably make them feel uncomfortable if you told them that that was a form of rejuvenating their face, but it is a great one. You know, women, on the other hand, very conscientious of it because our society really holds them to a different standard as far as aging goes. And so they do tend to try everything. Unfortunately, some of the stuff they try is not helpful.
You know, I think we've grown up in a society that the old adage is you get what you pay for. Excuse me for being so jaded in my beliefs, but when it comes to cosmetics, sometimes you don't get what you pay for. Just having a high price tag doesn't necessarily mean that it's head and shoulders above the low price spread, so to speak. And I think this was exemplified recently by not a scientific test, but a test done by ABC News on taking over-the-counter and then some high-priced various types of cosmetics. And basically, the bottom line was you could pay a lot of money for cosmetics and there might be a slight advantage, but you really weren't getting your money's worth. You probably were better off paying a little bit more than rock bottom prices, but nowhere near paying these exorbitant fees for cosmetics that cost hundreds of dollars.
I don't think you and I would disagree on that. You know, it's frustrating as a doctor, you know, when somebody comes to see me, I want to be completely honest with them. I want them to tell me what their particular issue is. I want to assess them both physically and through their medical record. And then I want to apply something that is scientifically proven to work. So it is very frustrating that you cannot go through a magazine or turn on the TV and not see that something as basic as a moisturizer will advertise that 99% wrinkle reduction. I can't even give you 99% reduction with a facelift. And so you would not hear me say that. So you do wish there was more transparency and honesty in the marketing of those products. But unfortunately, there's not.
I'm sure that a lot of people say, well, now, what makes the difference between what you can do for my skin and what a dermatologist can do for my skin? I assume there are some differences.
There are. And obviously, both specialties have a niche that is important. So a dermatologist really is more superficial on the skin, the issues of aging or skin cancer. And a plastic surgeon is more deeply involved in all the layers of the anatomy, including the skull. And so we can augment the skull with the implants just like a breast implant. You can put in a chin implant or a cheek implant if it's necessary. And we can augment the cartilage if your cartilage in your ear is deformed or the cartilage in your nose is. Those are things outside the realm of a dermatologist.
I think this is all kind of precursory information that you need to look at before you go to make an appointment to see a plastic surgeon about what to do about my neck. And, you know, it's a skin issue, yes, but I would imagine most people come to see you about a neck lift for cosmetic reasons. And I think this is going to make me look younger if I get rid of these telltale signs that I'm getting older, basically.
Well, and I think every person, I just turned 51, I think everybody, you know, that they go through a point where you look back at a picture of yourself, and that's when you recognize that you've gone through changes as you age, and the changes may not be ones that you're in love with. And so, yes, with the neck, one of the fascinating things about a neck is that there's a very thin sheet of muscle that goes from the jawline all the way down to your collar, that is the same type of muscle that a horse has over its whole body. And so when you see a horse kind of do that shiver to knock the flies off of them, that's the similar muscle that we have on our neck. That muscle really plays into a part of the dramatic aging process, even more so than having loose skin for most people. And so again, that's why a plastic surgeon and not a dermatologist might be the better choice for a neck lift, because we actually, during surgery, we rearrange that muscle. We will tighten that muscle like a corset, and we will cut parts of that muscle out. Things, because that muscle really, it's very rare that I have to take more than an inch of skin away when you do a neck lift on somebody to give them that dramatic look. It's really about the layers underneath the skin and redraping the current skin over that. And so that can't be done with a laser or some kind of salve or lotion. You won't get that result.
So it's a relaxation of the muscle elasticity that you're actually tightening the muscle.
Right. It's a very thin muscle. Almost, you could think of it more like wearing a turtleneck. It's as thin as that material. It's called the platysma. And so, really you can so recontour somebody's neck if you know how to create the tightness of that muscle again.
Now, Donovan, is this a one-shot deal? You do it one time only?
That is usually true. I mean, you can look at Hollywood and see where it's not true. Joan Rivers is the poster child for too much surgery. But when she's interviewed, she says that she obsesses about her neck. And if she sees it change at all, she's back in the doctor's office. That would not be recommended.
Yeah.
A neck lift could be a one-time operation.
Well, I think most people look at her as a freak.
Frankly,
I mean, you know,
well, I think she's,
most people look at her and say, I don't want to be like Joan. Just as they looked at Michael Jackson's nose and said, not me. Hell, I'd rather have a Jimmy Durante nose than a nose like whatever that is.
Well, I don't think any surgeon would disagree with you. She's had way too much surgery. You almost want to believe that some of this excess surgery she's had has really just been to brand herself, to keep herself in the public eye.
Sure.
You know, because she likes to talk about it.
Well, and that's her shtick now.
Right.
You know, that, and so,
it would be unsafe to repeat that operation that often for any patient. So you would turn them down. You would say to them, enough is enough.
And I question really the ethical status of those surgeons who say, yeah, I'll do that for you, Joan. I mean, I mean, if she came to you, honest to God, wouldn't you say, maybe somebody, Joan, but not me?
We do it all the time. You know, you do it politely. You hand somebody a mirror and you say, look, it is already as good as it should be. You don't have to be insulting to them. But I would absolutely not. I would, you know, if a person doesn't need surgery, you politely tell them they don't need surgery.
If it ain't broke,
don't fix it. Exactly.
I mean, that's true. Yeah. And I'm sure that you do have some people that come to you and you're honestly looking at them and you're thinking, I don't see the problem.
Absolutely. And some of those patients, they're appreciative when you say that because they may have just had some self-doubt, or maybe somebody had insulted them in a way that they felt like they needed to have somebody tell them that. But I think also what is helpful at the time of a consultation is, you know, we know how to break it down in a way that matters and makes sense. And so I tell a lot of patients when they come in that I want to give you some homework. I want you to go home and think about this before you do this, that this is what the expected outcome would be. And would that be appealing to you? Because it may be completely different than what they expected.
And as we talked the last time you were here, I think sometimes, even if you've had a procedure, the outcome ain't really in keeping with maybe the age of the patient. Like a Kenny Rogers, for example. I thought he looked better naturally than he does today. He looks, now this is me speaking, to me he looks like a cadaver, a live cadaver. He does not look, quote, normal for a guy who's in his late 70s.
But I would echo what you're saying. And when we go to our national conferences, there is always a lively debate there about the difference between doing the right surgery for somebody or doing the surgery that the patient has requested. And really, that's the moral and ethical dilemma of being a doctor, that not, you, just because you can do something and somebody has asked you to do it is not necessarily the reason to do it. I don't want to guess for those particular surgeons, but unfortunately, I think some people are blinded by the celebrity of it. And so, you know, that surgeon may have on a good day turned down a patient, but the celebrity of a Kenny Rogers, he may have said, I'm going to feel good about myself that he is my patient. He may allow me to use his name in my advertisements. And so he may have unfortunately tricked himself into committing to that surgery.
I gotcha. Yeah. And then, to me, if I had a procedure done, I would want to know the difference, but I wouldn't want very many. I would want people not to know what it was that I had done. To me, that would be ideal rather than, I want them to be, maybe there's, but they can't put their finger on what exactly it was that I had done.
That's the perfect result is that all of your friends tell you you look great. Not, oh my gosh, what happened to your eyes or what happened to your neck? That is the perfect result. And so you love that compliment if a patient says to you, you know, all my friends ask me, did I lose weight? Did get a new hairdo? You know, that's what it should be. It should be subtle, but it should be an improvement. And it's in that way, a person can't just point at you and say, oh my gosh, look at your neck or oh my gosh, look at your nose.
When we come back out of break, let's talk specifically about a neck lift, the procedure, and the recovery time, and what you can expect.
Heart disease, joint pain, allergies, eye care. The list of health needs we're faced with goes on and on. But it's comforting to know there is one healthcare practice in the Midlands with the expertise to take complete care of you. University Specialty Clinics. Only at University Specialty Clinics will you find a team of 200 doctors who are expert physicians and world-class medical educators. Whether you need a simple physical exam or need complete, complex medical treatment, you can trust the doctors at University Specialty Clinics to take special care of you for life. Call 255-3400 for an appointment. That number again, 255-3400. University Specialty Clinics is owned and operated by the University of South Carolina School of Medicine, where we practice what we teach.
A policy is taking care of South Carolina. Leon Jones Insurance. We're from South Carolina.
With locations in Columbia and Batesburg, Leesville, call 790-5600. That's 790-5600 for a quote.
Dr. Donna Davis is a board-certified plastic surgeon. He has advanced training and experience in performing a wide variety of surgical and non-surgical techniques, from Botox, Juvederm, and other fillers to breast augmentation and reconstruction. Every procedure is thoroughly discussed and planned with a patient before being performed. Whether you're interested in a tummy tuck, having a mole removed, a facelift, body contouring, an eye lift, you owe it to yourself to have a consultation with Dr. Davis by calling 929-1901. That's 929-1901 for an appointment. Donna Davis Plastic Surgery is located at 1850 Laurel Street in downtown Columbia.
We are back. My guest during the first half hour of today's program is Dr. Donna Davis, a plastic surgeon here in Columbia. We're talking about a neck lift. Let's talk about the procedure itself. How long does it take? And what are the after effects? In other words, if I have this procedure done, am I going to be out of work for a couple of weeks? Am I going to be all black and blue? These are things that I think people don't always take into consideration but need to.
Sure. And so, you know, at the office, once we identify a procedure that would be effective for a patient, then we prepare them for that, both with the medications that they would need and a post-operative care plan. That care plan would include the things you're talking about. How long would you be out of work? How painful is it? What are my limitations? The good news about a neck lift is very little pain associated with that. And that really improves all the safety factors. People that are in little bit of pain have no anxiety related to it. They're able to breathe deeply, move around normally, hydrate, all of those things that make surgery more safe. The surgery it doesn't take long, depending on which technique you need. Some patients just need liposuction. Some patients need the corset, the tightening of the muscle. And some patients need both the tightening of the muscle and skin removal. And so even if you did all of the above, that surgery could be done in less than an hour and a half. They would go home an hour after the surgery. They would have mild discomfort, minimal bruising. The men do tend to bruise more than women. And so that sometimes can play into, you don't want somebody to have an important, appointment or business meeting if they're bruised.
Is this done under local anesthetic?
It definitely, if it's just the neck. Most people do a face and neck lift together. And so when doing those combined, we tend to do it under general anesthesia.
I gotcha. Yeah. So that procedure would be done in a hospital rather than your office?
Right, at an outpatient facility. Mm-hmm. And again, you just show up that morning not having anything to eat or drink, and you stay for about an hour after just to make sure that you feel well before you go home. Mm-hmm. There are restrictions on physical activity. We don't want you to be strenuous those first couple of days because that can lead to some bleeding, and that would create bruising, which would slow down the healing process. Other sure. than that, it's really it's dramatic, the result, and not much pain.
I gotcha. And how long should you consider being away from work?
You would not necessarily have to be away more than a few days because of, unless you have strenuous work. Now, somebody that does something strenuous, if somebody's a personal trainer or construction or some kind of mechanical, they would have to be away for 2 weeks. But other employed people, 2 days, 3 days, they're back at work as long as they feel comfortable with the amount of bruising they might have.
And the reason why you do a consultation is you would be able to evaluate whether or not there was liposuction needed or whether or not the corset technique or the tightening of the muscle was also included or needed to be included.
Right. And I mean, there are very specific tests that we do during that exam that identify problems. They identify the splaying out of that muscle. They identify fat under the skin, both fat above that muscle or below that muscle. That changes the technique. There are two other anatomical problems that you do want to identify so that a person gets the best result. We have glands that help us break down food, and some of those glands are underneath the jawbone, and they bulge on certain patients. And if you need to identify that to create the right plan for a patient, that gland may need to be pushed back under the jaw or partially removed. There's even a muscle under there that sometimes bulges too much, and there's a special technique to determine that during the office exam.
Is there any difference in terms of technique used in as far as gender is concerned?
Not gender, but as far as how much skin excess there is. And so, again, most people really can get a really perfect result with hardly any skin removal, but the occasional patient that does have severe laxity to the skin, you have to spend more time with them about the scarring. There will be a longer scar. It's hidden behind the ear for that particular problem. But the patient needs to know that and decide if that's okay for them. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, for me, it's a little longer than an inch right in the crease under your chin, in a shadowy part of the neck that no one ever sees.
Sure. Yeah. And it's a type of surgery, I guess, that in that case, people will notice there's a difference, but.
Right. No one would ever, call you out on that. It's not radical. It is just an improvement.
Sure.
And so ideally, when you look in the mirror, if you look at your profile, you would love to have a near 90 degree angle from your chin to your trachea, mm-hmm. to your thyroid. And then we lose that as we get older. You know, there are several things that happen. It's not just a skin problem. It's the quality of the skin. It's the thinness or thickness of the skin. It's also the muscle, and it's whether or not there's any deposits of fat.
For those people who are interested in making an appointment to come in and talk with you about this procedure, how do they do that?
Well, that would be great. They just call our office, 929-1901, and ask for a consultation. There is a consultation fee, but that's always given back if they schedule a surgery. It's just a way to basically ensure that people show up for their appointment, and so we would not charge that on top of whatever the fee is for the surgery.
I thank you so very much for coming and sharing on Health, Wealth, and Happiness.
Thank you.
Beta-1-3-D-glucan is a dietary supplement when taken in proper dosage, enhances the immune system. For over 30 years, beta-glucan has been researched and found to be very effective as an antioxidant and a free radical scavenger, which helps your immune system be all that it can be in fighting both bacterial and fungal infections and diseases, ranging from the common cold to cancer. People who are in a chronic state of illness, who have diabetes, or who have been exposed to radiation or chemotherapy can benefit from taking beta-glucan without fear of any toxic or allergic reaction from this Baker's Yeast product. To order beta-glucan, simply call 361-4310.
When credit scoring was introduced into the marketplace in the mid-90s, who really knew the impact it would have on our lives today? The three-digit number determines the rate of financing we get on our home and auto loans, insurance rates, and even employment. But do you know how your credit score is calculated, and is it accurate? Do you know what to do to raise your credit score or change errors in your credit report? ScoreNavigator.com, at just $19.95 a month, not only gives you the most accurate credit score in the industry, it will tell you how to increase your credit score. Listen to information about you and your credit on the fourth Wednesday of the month from 1 to 1:30 right here on Health, Wealth, and Happiness. We are back, and joining us by the phone is Brian Kelly, financial planner. And today we're going to talk about something, Brian, that a lot of people don't know much about. They're called covered calls. It's an income strategy. So tell us about it.
Sure, Gary. And I think also I know with we'll touch on calls, and I would imagine given all the talk about the government shutdown and, what's potentially looming with the debt problem, debt ceiling coming, figured we'd touch on that a bit too. So
yeah,
we can see where the markets are going.
Right. We can start with that because there's no doubt about the fact that the market has dropped some 700 points in the last couple of weeks. I would think that here, having some patience is really the key. If you panic, you're going to lose. I think that certainly the market has, when there's uncertainty, the market's going to drop, and that's exactly what's happened here.
Yes, I'll tell you, Gary, here's kind of our thought process on the situation, that kind of the government shutdown, which is in effect right now, has affected the market, but not in an enormous fashion. You've seen the market go down, but by and large, Wall Street, I think, anticipated this somewhat. And, there's not that much fear that the government shutdown will be extremely prolonged and that the effect will be really, potentially too impactful to the economy. But what we do see as something that could really, really create more harm than the government shutdown is the whole debt ceiling crisis. And that's coming soon. That's coming later this month. And, you know, that's when you're looking at the potential on that end that, you know, if the U.S. stops being able to repay what they've borrowed, then in reality, if that ceiling's not raised and agreed to be raised, I think that would have an enormous impact on the market. And we're kind of heading into uncharted territory there. And I know as a firm, we're monitoring closely because to the extent we see the possibility of that happening, we will really move a lot of our people out of the equity market to at least just wait and see what happens on that end.
Maybe it's too much to hope for, but I think most observers are hopeful that these two problems that face the government shutdown and our debt limit, are solved at the same time, kind of a two-for-one. At least I think that's the hope.
I think you're right. I think that's, and that's what everybody really looks at it, right, and says, but both of them have to be solved, right? You can't really have the government shutdown continue for too much of a prolonged time. And, you know, there really has to be this raising of the debt ceiling because otherwise you just, you know, you look at the U.S. currency as kind of the base even for the whole world overall. It just, it really sends you into uncharted territory. And, you know, I think the concern about that is so large that you really, you know, we all get the feeling that that's going to be handled. But I would caution you, even with the government shutdown, right, I think nobody really thought it would go into effect. We kind of thought it would be handled, right, at the last minute. It usually is. You know, and now, again, the fact that there has been a shutdown, I don't think has really clobbered the markets. We've seen an impact, but it hasn't clobbered it. With the debt ceiling, if no one blinks on that and we're really pushed to the edge, I think we could see a dramatic, dramatic moves in the market. So I think very, very important to pay close attention to that. I think you're right that generally, right, the politicians, everybody always figures out a way, usually, to avoid the, you know, really just the huge negative impacts of some of these decisions when you have the ability to, right? Like the financial meltdown, of 5 years ago, really the all the government could do at that point was try to help and you know, we all have our opinions whether they were correct with their bailout measures, but that was kind of an after-the-fact measure on that end. On this side, it really seems like it's something that proactively there can be an agreement on so we can avoid a catastrophe. So we all think that's going to happen, right?
I think we're all hopeful that will happen. The one thing that I would not put any money on this Congress doing anything that is historically norm or putting any faith that the Congress can solve any problem. I'm not so sure those men and women in the House or Senate can agree upon the day, because sure as hell, if you said today is Friday, there'd be somebody who would rise up and say, not in Japan.
Right, exactly. Some of these guys interviewed, right, Gary? When you see, the Republicans and Democrats interviewed, it almost looks like they can't even look at each other. I think I saw a report or an interview a couple of days ago, and the commentator mentioned, hey, do you guys actually sit down and look at each other when you're negotiating? Said, because on this interview, you're standing next to each other, and you haven't looked at each other the whole time, you know?
Well, there's a big assumption there that they're negotiating. I don't think there's anything going
True.
On, quite frankly. Most of the members of the House are home. They're not even there. So there you go.
Right.
Well, let's go back to today's subject, because that's something that we can control, and those are covered calls. Let's start out with first the definition. What are you talking about, a covered call?
Sure. What you're doing when we talk about covered calls as an income strategy, a couple of things. I think we should make clear as a disclaimer, it's not for folks to just try and do on their own. It's definitely a little bit more of a, it's a strategy that you've really got to understand, and it should be done after really researching the topic, consulting with a financial professional. You don't want to do anything, that just exposes you more than need be. So I just want to throw that caveat out there at front. Definitely, it's food for thought for us to discuss today as an income-generating tool, but not just to be kind of treated lightly by an investor, on their own. So really what you're doing when you're selling a covered call is you're selling the right to someone else to purchase stock at a particular price. So you buy underlying shares, right? And then let's say you buy IBM. You could buy 100,000 shares or $100,000 worth of IBM stock, and then you can sell calls and give someone the right to buy your IBM stock at a certain price. So what that does, when you sell that call, it generates income for you immediately. And then depending on how long the call runs, let's say it's a four-month call, you're giving somebody else, whoever got the call, the right to basically buy your stock at a predetermined position. And depending on what price you sell that call at, you know, if it's IBM, to the extent I'm giving them the right to buy the stock at current market conditions or a little bit under or a little bit over, depends on how much income I generate. But it's a real interesting way of generating income. A lot of people view Gary options, right, as a very risky strategy because they're usually looking at buying an option, which means they put some money down, and then only if the stock achieves that option price do they make any money. Otherwise, they make nothing, right? When you're selling calls to generate income and you're covering them by owning the underlying stock, you actually own, you should be doing it with stocks you like anyway and you would want to hold anyway. And you're selling and giving someone the right to buy that position and generating income for yourself right away.
Sure. So, I mean, it's almost like having your cake and eat it too. And so if the number is reached, well, you can't say, oh, gosh, no, you set that number. So there you are. I mean, you should be pleased and happy.
Right. And I think, you know, what people who aren't fans of covered calls may say, well, you know, the challenge is, right, that you make your income, but let's say the stock goes in the direction you think it's going in, you've just made your income, and then somebody else actually has your stock. So you don't share in that much of the upside in it, where if it's not doing that well, you're going to be holding on to that stock and you'll own it in a world where it doesn't do well. And that is one of the negatives of being in calls. And, we always like to look at things both from what's the positive of it, what's the negative of it.
But so rightly point out, if you own 100,000 shares of IBM, you must have liked it to begin with to put that kind of money behind it, you see.
Yep. And you know, one area that we see a lot as planners, a real way to use the call that we find very effective, is a lot of times people come in with a particular portfolio, right? And they'll want to get rid of some of their stocks. So they'll say, yeah, you know, whether they want to rebalance or they don't like the stock anymore, they want to sell it. And a lot of times what we'll do is say, okay, you know what, if you're looking to sell it anyway, why don't we see if we can sell some calls, get some income for you right away on this, and then sometimes, you know, we'll set a call price higher than their current stock price. So what that'll mean is they'll make pretty good money right now, and they'll make some appreciation in the stock if it goes up. And it's a way, particularly when you're sitting on a portfolio and not sure to do, and you want to get rid of stock anyway, you sell calls associated with it, generate additional income. In a worst-case scenario, you're left holding stock, let's say, in 3 months, 6 months, that you were holding anyway, but you've generated income. And in a best-case scenario, you've gotten rid of it, and you've generated income. So it's a very effective strategy when you have a portfolio and are looking to sell some of your stocks anyway. You can kind of have your cake and eat it too.
Brian, for those people who are interested in discussing this with you, how can they get in touch with you?
Sure. They can always give us a call at the office. They can, email us is actually always very effective. And they can email to Brian K, that's B-R-I-A-N-K, at kellyhaftfinancial.com, and that's the name Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, Haft, H-A-F-T, financial, F-I-N-A-N-C-I-A-L.com. Email, very simple. They can call you at the station, as you know, you've referred people over to us, and we can speak to them, or they can give our office a call, 949-863-1135, and we'd love to speak to anybody.
Brian, thank you so very much for coming and sharing on Health, Wealth, and Happiness.